My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 15th of September 2009. The time is 10:15 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to state your name, age, and where you've come from?
Yep, my name's Amy Williams. I've come from Middlesbrough, and I'm 25.
How long have you lived in Middlesbrough for?
Pretty much all of my life, with a two-year gap in York and a year gap in Leeds. So, a long time.
What were the years in York for?
I did a GMVQ in Fine Art and moved down there with a few friends and just kind of had a bit of time to get the partying out of the system. And the year in Leeds, I moved for university, but then found out I was pregnant with my first child. Decided to move back to Middlesbrough and continue my studies there. So,
how old is your child now?
He is three.
What's his name?
He's called Gabriel.
And where's he living at the moment?
He's living with me, and we both live with my nana. So it's all kinds of co-inhabiting via family kind of lines. So,
how old's your nana?
She's 78. So,
has she had a big impact?
Massive, absolutely. I mean, I'm from a very kind of matriarchal background, which has kind of had a massive influence on my interests, like, and passions, really. Like, I'm very into kind of feminist, like, contemporary feminist theory, and like also follow a lot of kind of socialist politics, like political views. So it all kind of stems from her very open, very kind of inclusive, a community-based kind of attitude to life. So it's had a very big impact on my life.
What kind of feminist theories do you pursue?
Well, I've actually just finished my degree in English studies. My dissertation title was looking at economic exploitation of women, working class women in the Northeast through Pat Barker's novels. And it's that kind of thing. Like, I'm very interested to look at how feminism has worked into a post-feminist kind of place. Everything's kind of centered around sexuality. Like, if you watch programs like Sex and the City, all of the women, you know, they're very open about their sexuality, but there's not so much emphasis upon how they manage to succeed in successful jobs, and there's no kind of, you know, mention about what levels of education, what barriers maybe put up to kind of, you know, working class people, because it's not particularly the same for, you know, from different class backgrounds. I mean, certain people feel the entitlement and the, you know, to be able to kind of actually express themselves, and it's very different, like, from being from a very working class background. I've noticed the difference between, and how certain women can fall into kind of ideological gender kind of perspectives, and that kind of freezes them in a place which can be detrimental economically and socially. So that's kind of the thing that I've kind of picked apart in my dissertation and have been very interested in since, and kind of reading culture. So yeah, that's
And what's it. Your current view of feminism in today's society?
I think it's still very important. I have this argument with my male friends all the time. They're like, you've got the vote, what more do you want? It's like, well, that's not the point, because there's still very much a glass ceiling as far as kind of employment goes, and there's still, you know, a lot of issues to do with, like, binary opposition, really, in language, and kind of the marginalisation, especially of working class or ethnic feminine representation. So that's kind of... I feel that it still needs a lot more development before we can actually claim to be equal between genders. So that's my viewpoint on it anyway. So,
have you experienced any of this disquality?
Not within my educational experience, but I remember kind of like being at school and kind of registering a difference, because I have been lucky enough to come from a background where, you know, my family have been very supportive of me kind of furthering my education and building upon, like, academic knowledge, and I remember girls from school who are from very different backgrounds. Middlesbrough is still suffering from a deindustrialized kind of late 70s early 80s experience, and I think it kind of regressed a little bit as far as progression with feminism could go, whereas it has kind of progressed more in areas which are, you know, have stable affluence. So it kind of, you can see the differences, like to do with issues concerning motherhood, issues concerning, you know, domestic abuse and rape rates and that kind of thing. So yeah, I kind of have experienced it, but not like kind of on a subjective level. It's been kind of through other people and through my observations and kind of analysis of like other people's lives. So yeah.
And you mentioned socialism, what's your view on that?
Well, at the moment I'm kind of just learning the basics. I did an English degree and was very interested in Marxist theory, and today I'm going to kind of talk about ideas of the expectation of affluence within a very centralized kind of political environment which Britain is today. And like at the moment I'm currently doing some volunteering work in the North of England Refugee Service, and kind of working with people who are well below the poverty line every day and trying to support them and help them, you know, gain housing, gain status, gain acceptance within a community is something that I'm very passionate about. It's the same way that a lot of, you know, delinquent underclass people are viewed as you know, the other of Britain. Like the whole like concept that I'm kind of going to speak about today is the locations decision to vote Middlesbrough the worst place to live in the UK. And it's not progressive, and it's slightly detrimental to an area that is not going to kind of benefit from being told a self-fulfilling prophecy when everybody's already living that. It's very difficult for, you know, this kind of dangerous underclass to be able to lift themselves out, and like, you know, I believe very much education could do that, but the levels that it's at the moment is not adequate. So it's kind of, that's my view. It's like, you know, people having the ability to have the same education, to be able to have the same support and the same kind of, you know, encouragement, because it's not the same. And as much as people would like to think it is, and, you know, like David Cameron recently made a comment about, you know, everybody pretty much having a mortgage nowadays. It's like, well, it's not the case. 1/3 of the UK's population lives in rented accommodation and stuff. It's like, it's very unstable, and that you've got to kind of acknowledge this fact before you can start to fix the problems which stem from it. The actual the statistics that location used to kind of put Middlesbrough as the worst place to live were to do with binge drinking, to do with drug abuse. And you've got to, as well as naming those kind of issues within society, you've got to pick them apart. You've got to look at the subjective reason why they happen. And from that, you can start to progress and you can start to improve. And I think that's kind of my interest at the moment. It's the same, you know, with people, anybody below the poverty line. It's got to be a big concentration of effort and finance to be able to kind of bring them to a level where everybody can be given the same opportunities in life. So that's kind of my view on it as it stands. So there we go.
Do you believe there is still a class system existing in our current society?
Certainly. I mean, that's what I'm going to talk about today. I've mentioned the expectation of affluence. It's not the case for a lot of deindustrialized towns over the past 30 years. People are defined, working class men are defined by their employment. You take that employment away and you get, you know, social problems such as drinking, it's escapism. It's, you know, Orwell was reporting on this like in the early 30s, and it's kind of, you've got to be able to take a step back and look and see the fact that it's repeated itself. And like, I'm going to bring up the issue of Chorus, who are currently, there's a big steel plant in Middlesbrough, and they're currently looking at closing the place, and that's 3,500 people without jobs from that, and it's like it can't be a positive thing. Surely there's something that can be done to nationalise, you know, an industry which is very useful within, you know, building work and, you know, that kind of thing. Surely there should be something available for people to maintain those jobs and not to fall, you know, into levels of like abject poverty, and for them to be able to kind of feel confident and kind of represented by their place as a worker. I mean, it's kind of, it's very basic kind of Marxist theory, but it's kind of that thing. It is very important for economic stability of the town, and also for the social conditions which are affected by that, and to be able to watch people who generally are, you know, skilled workers lose their jobs, and the only available kind of employment that's very secure in the area is public sector, which, you know, there's only so many jobs that you, there's not only so many people you can employ for those roles. It's kind of, it's important to still, you know, maintain like industry in the area, because that's what we're defined on. And yes, it's a class, and it's all right to be that. Like, it's okay for people not to feel, you know, the need to buy to let and that kind of thing. It's not like a discourse that is particularly prevalent within the area, so it's a bit I feel like, as regards to like Channel 4, it's a little bit irresponsible for them to kind of shoehorn people who aren't working in that kind of sphere into something else. So it does display like difference, and it does show the fact that there is still quite a rigid class system which will condemn and privilege between, you know, working class, middle class. It's one of those things, I think, and it's still rife in the UK today. So that's my view on it anyway. So, no.
Can we just go back to your Nana? Because obviously she's a big inspiration in your life, your words.
Yeah.
Do you mind describing her for us?
Yeah, she's just over 5 foot. She's got 5 children. She's absolutely brilliant. She's been all over the world. She's a very interested person. She's very enthusiastic about family values, about community values, and she's, you know, had quite a tough life. There's a lot of things that have happened to her which haven't been easy, and she's bounced back from them, to do with issues of her husband losing his job and that kind of thing, and taking it out on the family in ways that shouldn't have been. And she's managed to come back from that. She's a very independent, very kind of strong woman, and I just admire her so much for like being able to still, you know, fly off to Australia at 78 years old. I mean, I've got an uncle who emigrated there 3 years ago, and she's been to visit him once for 3 months, and she's going again and kind of flying on her own and stuff. And it's like, okay, even I'd be a little bit daunted by that, but she's not bothered. She's just like that. Yep, I want to go, I'm off. So she's fabulous. But yeah, it's just that whole kind of matriarchal setup which has influenced me and influenced the other kind of girls in the family, and the boys as well. Like, it's that kind of thing where, like, the expectation of a working class man is, you know, down the pub. That, you know, the stereotype that you see of a northern working class man is, like, flat cap, down the pub for a beer, go home, beat his wife kind of thing. And it's, like, it takes somebody quite special to change that and to subvert those views, and she's very much done that through her control, shall we say, of the family. But yeah, so she's just amazing. She's a great woman. So
have there been any other inspirational characters or people in your
there's been quite a few. I mean, my best friend's mum is the person who's probably got me into thinking about challenging political viewpoints and thinking about kind of developing like theories which are already kind of available into a subjective manner, especially to do with Middlesbrough. Her name's Margaret Walters, and she's a lecturer at the local college, Middlesbrough College. And I just remember kind of going around to Esther's house, my best friend, and kind of sitting there and kind of being like, oh, is that the Guardian on the floor? Because obviously it's a different level of kind of reporting compared to like the tabloid kind of viewpoint, and it just introduced a whole new world to me, which I've kind of embraced really and really enjoyed kind of learning about and kind of getting involved with different things. Like, I mean, recently I accompanied her for a march to do with Palestine and the issues that are happening there at the moment, and like I can't see, I'm sure I would have found it in the end, but probably not as early as I did in my life, and I wouldn't be quite so passionate as I am now if it wasn't for Margaret. So it's excellent.
Can I ask what role men have played in your life?
Well, my granddad, who is my nana's second husband, was very important to me, and my father too. I mean, they're very strong characters to be able to deal with the kind of background that we're from, to be able to enter into that kind of the woman rules all kind of thing that kind of is prevalent within my, like, my mother's side of the family. And they are just really generous and patient characters, which I think is something, like, the women are all hotheads and the men are a little bit more laid back, and I think that's something that I've kind of like been able to kind of develop through them. So like it's played an important role in kind of me being able to go, oh, I'm really angry about this, but hang on a second, I need to sit back and I need to, you know, gather my thoughts together, I need to make an articulate argument rather than just shouting, you know. And so it's kind of important to the person that I am, so I could kind of, like I say, just sit back and take a little bit of time to like gather thoughts, and that's definitely a male attribute kind of that has influenced me within like our kind of family setup. So yeah, they're great. All
have
of them.
Have your views changed radically over the years?
I wouldn't say so. I think I took a set of values which were left wing, and I've developed them and developed my knowledge about it, and it's something that a lot of people like to challenge, and I believe that there are many reasons for this. I mean, we get things drilled into our consciousness from the very beginning to do with, you know, gender stereotypes, to do with class stereotypes, and it's very difficult for people to accept that sometimes these things aren't particularly the way we should be living our life as I see it. But I don't think it's radically changed for me. I think I've just developed it further and developed my knowledge further and just spent a lot of time reading fiction and like theoretical based work to kind of develop, pardon me, my interest and my knowledge. So it's kind of just been a gradual development. So yeah.
Do your friends have similar views?
Some do and some don't. It is nice, the fact that we can sit in a pub and still be friends and debate about these things. I have friends who are very passionately, not necessarily nationalist right-wing kind of views, but, you know, don't necessarily agree with open border policies, which is, you know, I'd be quite happy to happen, you know. It's one of those things, and we all kind of sit and discuss it, and everybody takes a little bit from everybody else, I think, and it's, you know, it's the way that opinion formation works, and it's nice that you can have somebody that you can sit there and debate with and be able to challenge each other and to be able to go away and go, oh yeah, yeah, actually she might be a little bit right about that or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, some do and some don't. So
I'm just wondering, how did you first hear about the project?
Through The Guardian. So yeah, I read it and I really enjoyed the concept of such a democratic like kind of piece of public art. It's like it's based on the number of people from each area is proportional to the population, isn't it? So I was like, that's really interesting. It's not just open to like certain areas, you know, it's everybody involved and everybody has a fair chance as regards to, you know, the population numbers. And I thought that was wicked, and I was like, it'd be a nice chance to be able to kind of go and talk about the issues that I find close to my heart, and hopefully somebody will, you know, listen and enjoy. But and I've really enjoyed watching other people do it as well. There's been some absolutely fantastic like comedy stuff going on. There was one with at the Olympics a couple of weeks ago. No, it was last week, and like there was a guy had people like slow-mo running and like sending like paper aeroplanes to see who got the furthest. And it's like, it's excellent that you can get up and you can make a political social stance, but you can also like add an element of comedy. It just shows the diversity of interests within the UK, and it's such a wide spectrum of people from all sorts of backgrounds that it's just nice that they can get up and be represented. It's nice. So that's what I made me kind of want to enter into this kind of project. So
you've mentioned before what you're going to be doing on the plinth.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to elaborate a bit more?
Yep. Basically, in 2007, Middlesbrough was voted the worst place to live in the UK. I feel that this was a slightly irresponsible kind of suggestion for a broadcasting company who sell themselves as, you know, taking the voice of the unrepresented and putting it on our screens, you know, on a very global scale, which is fantastic. However, you can't kind of do that and then use a particularly middle-class discourse to alienate people who've come from a very different background. And like I was saying, like the social and cultural effects that have happened within the area and all towns across the UK that have, you know, had a very traumatic impact from, you know, the loss of employment in the area. You've got to kind of pick apart these statistics that they provide to say, you know, on average, binge drinking is worse than anywhere else, twice as bad as anywhere else in the UK, and kind of go, well, hang on a minute, that's, you know, you've got to look at the reasons for that before you set a judgment. Like, it's an important thing, and it's kind of creating a class other to what is the norm of English kind of identity. And it's not the case. It's a dangerous game to play that, and I just want to be able to get up and say, look, we've got our problems, everywhere does. Don't be fooled into thinking that everybody's sort of kind of attempting to engage upon like property ownership. It's such a like a consumerist based society that we live in nowadays, and it's accelerated massively since like I was at senior school and stuff, and I've kind of watched it, and kind of, you know, the mobile phone generation and all of that kind of thing, and it's like, I must have that. And it's like, well, if you take a step back for a minute, like, you don't have to own anything like necessarily. It's nice to, and it's nice to have the money, but not everybody does, and it's not fair to kind of enter everybody into this competitive rate of ownership when not everybody can enter the competition, not everybody has the money to do it, not everybody has, you know, the education to be able to, you know, thrive in that environment. So it's, you've got to take it back to grassroots and be able to give everybody the same opportunity, I feel, otherwise it's highly unfair. So I'm just going to stand and talk about that. I've kind of decided to, unfortunately, the megaphone doesn't look like it's going to be working, so it's kind of based mostly upon like the recording for the televisual kind of aspect of the project. But split it up into three different talks now, like looking at kind of the impact that, you know, property shows has on our, like, have on our culture. Then looking at the statistics they used, introducing a few more which, you know, could be more relevant to the subjectivity of deindustrialised working class towns, and then looking at the cultural and social effects of this, like, also to do with Chorus, which is something, like I've mentioned previously, is very important because we need to have that sense of industry. It's part of our cultural identity, and if that goes, you know, it's only going to fall into more statistics to do with kind of escapist pursuits, really. And it's not a positive thing to happen to any area. So it's like, well, you've got to kind of address that. Also highlighting the kind of regeneration projects which are going on in Middlesbrough as well at the moment, because there are a lot, and it's not going to solve all the problems that, you know, you have within a community, you have within like a certain like concentrated culture, but it is going to be able to improve, you know, a national kind of attitude towards the area, and it's, you know, available for people to be able to take up in the area. And if even if you change one person's viewpoint, even if you encourage one person into education, it's a positive thing. So that's kind of what I want to be able to say today, because I think it's important to be able to kind of write back, if you will, to the kind of issues that they've brought up, and kind of just break them down as something which, you know, is not necessarily how they've sold it. So that's my plan.
As you know, the project's about getting a portrayal of modern Britain.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to ask if I can for you to describe or paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life.
Well, I've just finished my university degree in English studies. I'm working in a voluntary kind of position with the North of England Refugee Service, doing voluntary support work, helping people get accepted for Section 4, which is for people who've applied for who've applied for asylum and have had their their case rejected, basically. So they're effectively destitute and homeless. I'm also a very kind of enthusiastic mother, and enjoy so much the joy of having a little boy to kind of play with and do all of that kind of stuff, and the nurturing, which is, you know, a very important thing for anyone. I think it's a fantastic experience, and I'm currently just trying to decide which direction I want to go with for the rest of my life. And I know I want to help people, and I know I want to be able to be involved in a very, you know, worthy cause, to be able to improve people's lives, but I'm not quite sure where to go with that yet. And so I'm just kind of applying for jobs at the moment, which are few and far between as it stands, not just in Middlesbrough, understandably, it's across the country. And just try to take some direction from that. So exciting. Transitional period.